Well, Jesus came to reveal to us that he was the immense God who is vastly beyond all that exists, and that he's always been before the universe began, and that he has revealed himself in the scriptures. You remember what Jesus said as he was walking in his post-resurrection time? He said, "They, the scriptures, speak of me." You see, he came to reveal, as Hebrews 1 says, that Jesus is the exact representation of God. Jesus told the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen what? The Father. Jesus said, I am the immense God, vastly beyond all the universe. He said, I am the awesome creator. He said, I attest to my might that I have framed all the stars and the galaxies and the universe, both macroscopic and microscopic. Jesus said, I am the endless of days. I see you who are frail as dust, you who are fleeting like the shadows, and I have placed before you my eternal word so you can have and hold and love and live by my word. Now, let's go again to 1 Thessalonians. There's so many good verses on this. But back to those little epistles, it goes by Acts, Romans, 1, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, there it is. Chapter 5, the last chapter, second chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at what verse 13 says. Because in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we find how the Bible is presented to pagans, non-Jews, okay? And how they were commended for how they took the Bible and how they looked upon it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul said this, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us." So they didn't even get it written, they got it spoken. He says Paul was speaking, was proclaiming to them the word of God, "which you heard from us," look at this, "you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Do you know why we have a lot of weakness in the church? I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church, the visible church of Christ around America and around the world. Do you know why we have trouble? Because the word of God is not effectively at work. Why? Look at the last few words of verse 13. Because many people don't believe it. They kind of keep it at arm's length. They're not sure which parts are tainted, right? They're not sure if that part is reliable, you know, because they've heard that, you know, we're not sure that that really happened or that possibly could have happened. And so maybe none of it can really be trusted. See, the word of God effectively works, verse 13, when we receive it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And by the way, this translation, you don't have to say that I have something that mirrors the word of God. Jesus affirmed his translation, the Septuagint, was the word of God. So you know what? You're holding the word of God. You're holding a copy of God's word that he breathed out. And if you believe that, look at the end of verse 13. It effectively works in you if you believe. And keep going to the right to 2 Timothy 3. So it goes 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd. There it is, Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Because if you receive this and believe it, it says this, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, the word inspiration, theopneustos, God breathing out. So this book is God blowing out, breathing out through 40 different men, his very words. That's the scripture. It's given by the breath of God. And it is profitable. So this whole book, all 1,104 pages in the typeset that I have, all 1,104 pages, all of them, even the mold on the walls in Leviticus, and even the grumbling campfires of Numbers, and even all of the repetitive law giving of Deuteronomy, and all those historical archives, and all those Psalms, and all that poetic literature, even the kind of hard ones to understand, all of it, look at this, is given by inspiration, and all of it, keep looking at verse 16, is profitable. Profitable for what? For four things. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Doctrine, what's right? Reproof, what's wrong? Correction, how to get right. Instruction and righteousness, how to stay right. You see, every part of the Bible has a profit. Not every part can be a doctrine, because some of it is a narrative of stuff that Satan did wrong. But it is a historic, reliable, accurate record of Satan's lies. And so it's profitable for us to know how to stay away from that. But all of it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And if we will accept the Bible, verse 17 says, then we will be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're supposed to go through the world complete. Not always missing something, lacking. We're supposed to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Last verse we'll look at, and then we'll be done. Go 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. We're going to 2 Peter chapter 1, okay? So keep going to the right, and you will hit Peter. Okay? Right after Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, then 2 Peter 1. This is what Peter says. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Beware of people that say, well, to me, that means. You know what? I smile and I say, I have an opinion too. But no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That doesn't mean that there are 50 interpretations to every verse of the Bible. That's the emergent church's error. There's 15 levels. You just pick off the shelf which level you want. And if you don't like the one that says homosexuality is wrong, that's okay. It was to the Jews. You can be up here with the pagans, you know. And if you don't like what it says about the role of women, that's because it was Paul was chauvinistic. So don't take it off that shelf. And they put the Bible on 15 shelves, kind of like the donut shop. And you can just look around and pick the shelf that caters to your itching ears. And you can pick that off because they've said everything has so many different interpretations. No, there's no private interpretation. God only meant one thing. Now, we can apply it 50 ways. And by the way, there are several passages in scriptures that throughout the centuries, we have not fully been able to say exactly what God meant. But we know he meant something. And they're very hard passages, but 99% of the Bible is not like that, where there's divergence. In fact, Mark Twain put it the best. He said, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. And he wasn't even saved. Okay? He could understand it. So, no prophecy is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man. Paul didn't say, boy, I'm going to bash the women, so I'm going to write that 1 Timothy 2 thing, and I'm going to bash the homosexuals, so I'm going to write that Romans 1 thing, and I'm going to bash, you know, and he didn't sit around and say, you know, I just want to do this by the will of man. No. Holy men of God spoke, verse 21 says, as they were moved. Different word for inspiration there. The word is pheromenoi, and it means to be borne along by the wind. Remember the theopneustos is the blowing of the wind? Pheromenoi means to be actually carried by the wind of God. Those men sat down, and God blew out through their personality, through their ability, through even their vocabulary, and wrote his very word. So we can believe the Bible is true, and that it's all it claimed to be, because Jesus believed and taught and practiced that this was the book that you hold in your hands, that he held in his, that God breathed out the scriptures.